I want you to turn with me, if you will, please, to the chapter that we read from God's Word. It's Isaiah and chapter 53. You'll notice that we began this chapter in the previous chapter in our Bible. Let me explain to you that the chapters in the Bible are not inspired. In other words, the divisions in the Bible are not inspired. When the Bible was written, it was just one whole. But it's very convenient for us to have the chapters. But it does seem quite obvious and logical that this chapter 53 really begins in verse 13, where it says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently." And it doesn't really begin with the verse, "Who hath believed our report?" But for our benefit tonight, we're just going to speak about one little phrase that comes out of Isaiah 53 and in verse 2. Let me explain to you that I'm preaching this week and next week because of circumstances. And I want to try, if I can, to speak to you about my favourite verses at Christmas. If you ask me what's my favourite verse of Scripture for Christmas is, I think it would have to be this verse that I want to bring to you tonight. And then next week we'll have a look at another verse which the Lord has blessed to my soul. When I first came to pastor the church many years ago, we had a united service on Christmas Day. And I was the preacher, and I preached on this particular verse. Not quite sure what I said, although I've still got the notes that I actually had on that occasion. But it's a lovely verse, and I want to bring it to you tonight as a message from the Lord. So it's Isaiah 53 and verse 2. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we would see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." It's just a little phrase that comes at the beginning of the verse, "a root out of a dry ground," a root out of a dry ground. Let me explain to you that there are many illustrative and instructive titles concerning the names of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to count up the names, I think you'd have to say that there's probably about 100 different names concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, many of them, Son of Righteousness, Shiloh. And Shiloh, of course, is a place where in the land, but he is called Shiloh as well. He's also called the Son of Jacob, Emmanuel, a wonderful title we have in the New Testament. Jesus of Nazareth, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The title that is used more than anything else concerning Christ is the Son of Man. And even today, his title still is the Son of Man. Now, all of these, you see, add more to the light of his glorious person. And that's why we have so many different titles. You couldn't have one title and think that you describe the Lord Jesus, his work and his ministry in that one title. And therefore, all these titles put together, that's the picture. That's the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, indeed. Our text, what is it? A root out of a dry ground. Do you understand that? Do you know the meaning of what that really means? I trust you do, and I hope that the Lord will be pleased to bless it to our souls tonight as we consider it together. The first thing I probably have to say about this by way of introduction is it's a strange place to actually find this particular verse. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean this, that it seems to me that this chapter 53 of Isaiah is all about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. You look up and just note down, in verse 3 it speaks of a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And then in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We could go through that chapter and you would see the different descriptions of what it meant for the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross and to die. And yet our verse is concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems to me that what we have to understand is both of them always go together, the birth and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot understand Calvary, the place where he died, without a spiritual appreciation of Bethlehem. The world, as we all know, makes much of Bethlehem and of Christmas, but they make little of Golgotha and of the cross. The world lustily sings the carols, but conveniently forgets Christ and the blood of the first Good Friday. But the road from Bethlehem, it seems to me, led to the place called Calvary. We often speak about Calvary being implicit in Bethlehem, or if you like, the cross is implicit in the cradle of Bethlehem. Once there was a man who said to a preacher these messages concerning the cross and Bethlehem is really foolishness. He said, you're right. In actual fact, he said, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says. It is foolishness. He said, what do you mean I'm right? What do you mean that Paul said that? Aren't you going to argue back against me? No, he said, you're right. You see, Paul said, this is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. And so it is, isn't it? When you consider this lovely verse that we're going to consider a little later tonight, a root out of a dry ground, that's a wonderful description of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see if we can do that. The first thing that I want you to notice here is the symbol and its message. Christ is a root. How could he be a root? How can we understand this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down here to this earth and died upon the cross for our sins and rose again and ascended up into heaven and one day is going to come back again in great glory, how was he described as a root? Let's try and do that. The first thing I think it really means is the years of obscurity in his life. You'll know that if you have a root, that root is always hidden by the earth that surrounds it. It's hidden from sight. I mean, think about our Lord Jesus Christ. He never was seen, really, except on one occasion, during the 30 years until he was shown to the world. What happened during those 30 years? My friend, we don't know, and it is wise for us not to try to make some conjecture concerning it. I've read books which speak about those 30 years and about the miracles that he performed with wood because his father was a carpenter and all the different things that he did. Listen, that's just man's ideas. It doesn't come in the word of God whatsoever. But these were years of obscurity, 30 years, until he came forth with his message. The second thing, it seems to me, is this, that this root shows his glorious person as God. His glorious person as God. It was hidden. The deity was hidden from the world. He wasn't born in Jerusalem, was he? He was born in Bethlehem. He wasn't born in a palace, but he was born in a stable. There was no great show. The angels, when they appeared to who? The shepherds. The shepherds, you see, was the lowest of the low as far as occupations were actually concerned. And yet, that's where the message came. The star came to the wise men, but not to everybody, just to them at that particular time. And you'll remember the story, of course. God was made flesh in humble circumstances, unnoticed, unobserved. The deity of the Lord was not seen, but it was known. And we today often speak about it. We even sing about his glory was veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. And it was veiled, and yet God was incarnate. That word incarnate, what does it actually mean? What does it actually mean? Well, it means it was imbibed in flesh. Imbibed in flesh. You couldn't see it. It was something hidden. And that's what the root is. And we think here tonight about the Lord Jesus being a root out of a dried ground. And because of that, we think of what he was. And what was he? He was this great God who came down here to this earth. There's another reason, perhaps, that this picture is seen in the Word of God because it refers to the foundation of all things. The root is the beginning of the tree. The root bears the weight and the strain of the tree. It's the very centre of the life of the tree. The root produces sap and strength so that the tree can grow. The tree is only as good as the root really is itself. Without the root, there's no tree, there's no life, there's no leaf, there's no blossom, there's no fruit, there's nothing. How important then is the root? We understand that, I'm sure we can think about it and realise what it really means. This is the church, and this is our foundation. He is our root. He is our life. He is our strength. He's the giver of nourishment for us. He enables us to be fruitful and to be glorious for him. And no satanic power and no satanic force can ever break that wonderful link that we have here. How foolish it is then for people to try and rely on themselves and say they're the foundation of their lives. They're not at all, of course. They need a root. They need the foundation. They need the strength that it gives. They need the source of peace and joy and of satisfaction and security. They need these things. And that's why this lovely title is given to us. Jesus is a root out of a dry ground. I wonder if you understand that. Just this last week we saw on our television how one of the great bridges in Scotland have been closed because they found some structural damage to it. And it'll be closed for a few weeks until it is repaired. They were building a bridge in Scotland not so long ago, actually, and they said that they were digging down past the water into the mud at the bottom of the actual river that was going to flow under the bridge, so that they could put down a foundation. They went down and down, and suddenly they struck the rock. And they realised they didn't even need to put down a foundation. Why? Because the foundation was already there. It was solid rock, and that was all they needed. My friends, that's all we need. Sometimes we try to do all sorts of manner of things. Sometimes we try to make foundations, but no foundation will stand. It's only the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me stop here and say to you, what about you? Where do you stand? Do you have this foundation? Do you know this root that we're talking about? The Lord Jesus gave a parable, didn't he, about foundation. He said two men built a house, one upon rock and one upon sand. The one that was built upon sand collapsed because when the wind blew and the rain came down and the storm began, there's no foundation, and the house collapsed, and was great was the fall of it. But the one that was built upon the rock, and that was the rock Christ Jesus himself, stood firm amongst all the storms that come. And that's the same for us today. It means something. We need a good foundation. We need this root in our lives, and only Jesus Christ can give it to us. So there's the symbol and its message. Let me carry on and speak to you about the whole of this verse. The second thing I want you to notice is the soil and its meaning. The soil and its meaning. A root out of a dry ground. What an awful reception the Lord Jesus Christ had when he came into this world. Very often we look at this verse at Christmas time, and very often we've spoken about it as well. There was no room for them in the inn. And we emphasise those two words, no room, no room. That's exactly what it was in that day. But it hasn't changed, has it? Because we have to say today, there's no room for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And why was there no room? Because it was dry ground. It was dry ground. And Christ was born in such a time and such a way that he came out of a dry ground. It describes the condition of the world when Christ came. A dry ground. Not the sort of ground conducive for the root to grow. And we have to say that all the world in that day and all the world today offers hostile to its message. That's true, isn't it? You think about the message of Jesus Christ. Let's try and preach it round the world. Go to the different countries. Is it really welcome there? No, not at all. And yet it's a message of forgiveness of sins. It's a message of peace. It's a message of joy. It's a message which gladdens our heart. And yet men and women are hostile to the message. What about you? Are you hostile to the message? Is your heart dry ground that we've been trying to speak about even here? They're unprepared to consider the message. They wouldn't listen to him when he preached the message. They were unresponsive to the divine call. And he spoke of God. He spoke of the way of salvation. He spoke and showed men what sin will do to their lives. And yet unresponsive, unprepared, hostile. Of course, you will remember that this, when he was born, was a time when Rome was the powerful political force in the world. But there were religious zealots. Did they come? Very few. What about the traditional theology of the Jewish nation? That was against it. What about the ritual sacrifice? All of these things were there, but they were dead. They were dry ground. We often speak about dry rot. I read a story about a church that had dry rot in the pews, and someone said they hoped that there wasn't dry rot in the pulpit as well. Well, I hope you don't think there's dry rot in our pulpit, because there's not, and we don't believe that there is at all. This is what Christ found. I suppose one word describes it: unpropitious soil. Unpropitious soil. Oh, how terrible it is. The Bible says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God. The miracle that this root even came through, isn't it? Because the ground was so dry indeed. We as individuals face up to this. We think of the great powers that were in those days, and I've described them when I spoke of Rome and of the Jews and their religion and so on. Dry ground. But what about the individuals? Oh, there were some individuals, weren't there? And we're thankful for every individual who came and every individual who trusted Christ as their Saviour. But what about today? Is that ground still unpropitious? We as individuals, what about us? You think again of the story of Christmas. Herod was preoccupied. The religious leaders were prejudiced. The people were full of pride. And pride is always that which keeps men and women away from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there was a controversy in the church. Sometimes if you go back to history and you read about what happened other times in the church, you'll read some very interesting things. I love to read history, and I'm doing that now at this moment. And there was a great controversy about whether pews should be used in the church or there should be seats. Now, the controversy was more than that, because the pews were rented pews. Even Mr. Spurgeon in his church had rented pews. So a man or a woman could rent a pew, and that pew would be kept for him, and he would be able to bring his family along or bring friends along, and it was just like almost going out to the theatre very often. But the pews were rented. They thought, you can't do that with chairs, because the chairs can be moved around so very easily. So what should it be? Should it be pews or should it be chairs? One man said he didn't want it to be chairs at all, because if he did have it as chairs, he might be sitting next to his coachman, the man who drove the coach along the roads and was his servant. He didn't want to sit in church with him. My friend, how sad that is. That man is so proud that they think that way. What about you? Is it pride that keeps you away from our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, we don't want pride to keep us away, do we? We want to know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. So tonight, what I've tried to do in a brief message to you is a symbol and its message, and a soil and its meaning. And I hope that you can follow the reasoning as we've thought about these things, and I hope that you can ask your own self, and your own heart, where you stand before God. The last thing I want to speak about is the seam and its ministry. The seam. Why am I using the word seam? I'm using the word seam because the seam is that which joins the two together. We've looked at the root, and we've looked at out of dry ground. So the dry ground is there, and the root is there. Put them both together. And this is what we want to try and do now. The root out of the dry ground. There was a root before. That was Adam and Eve in the garden. But remember this, that Adam failed. The test was given, and Adam failed in the Garden of Eden himself. But Jesus came as the second Adam. The second Adam. And that's who he is. He's the second Adam. We sometimes say, second Adam to the fight he came. And so he did. We sing those words. The second Adam. He was the second Adam. And he comes as the root out of a dry ground. Why did he come? First of all, to declare. To declare man's condition. Man's condition as a hopeless man. And we know that ourselves, don't we? I was telling the congregation this morning about a story about a man who indeed came to his church. He became the minister of the church. He was called a priest, so therefore he belonged to the Church of England. And before he actually had his induction service, he went around to the various churches so that they would know him round about. And then on the day that he came, it was on the Sunday, and so he was introduced to the congregation. And the congregation heard just what he had to say as his witness and his testimony. But indeed, after that, the next day, he went to the schools. And he was in one school, and he wanted the people to know who he was, the boys and girls. They were just little boys and girls. But one little girl had been to that service, in the evening service. And he stood up with his collar on and everything else, and he said, I want you to tell me who I am. Who I am. And the little girl thought, what did he say last night? And she remembered. She remembered something. And she said, I know who you are and what you are. And he said, you tell us then. You're a miserable sinner. A miserable sinner. Of course, she said it because he said it the night before. We don't mind ourselves calling us sinners. We don't mind my acknowledging I'm a sinner. But when people call me a sinner, that's a different matter altogether. And therefore, we're up in arms concerning it. But Jesus came to reveal that condition, man's condition, hopelessness, with all our sin. How can we get to heaven? How can we know eternal life? How can we have the blessing of God upon our souls? There's no other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man can't endeavour to live as good as he can, and he will still fail. There's only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friend tonight, if you think that you can get to God some other way, you're mistaken. And you have to understand that Jesus came to declare our sinful condition, and the only way to God is through him. He came to deliver us. That word deliver is a lovely word, isn't it? We go back into our own history as a nation, and we think about how God delivered this nation in the wars that are past. And people say a mighty deliverance. They actually use that word, deliverance. So it was a great deliverance. There's no question about that. What about in our lives? We drive along the highways of our towns and cities, and sometimes we go too fast, perhaps, and sometimes we're very near crash, and we want to thank the Lord for the deliverance that he brings. But what about sin? What about the power of sin upon our lives? Or we try to break it by making good habits. We try to do things which perhaps will help us, and so it does help us to a certain extent. But how can we be delivered from sin? How can we be delivered from the penalty of sin? We have to face God one day. We have to come face to face with him. He knows every detail about our lives. He knows all about not only our actions, but our thoughts as well. My friend, where will you stand when you stand before God? Will you stand with one of those who've never been delivered, or one of those who are delivered? The penalty of sin has been paid upon the cross at Calvary. The power of sin can be broken, and the devil can have nothing on us when Jesus breaks the power of cancelled sin. My friend, tonight, do you know something about what it means to be delivered in your heart and in your life? Only Jesus can do that. And then he came to speak about defeat, the defeat of the enemy. The Bible tells us the last enemy is death. Why is the last enemy death? Because he brought life and immortality through Jesus Christ our Lord. We believe in that. We believe that he brought life and light and immortality through himself. The battle has been fought upon the cross. The victory has been won. And by the resurrection, it's been completed. The conqueror of death. How wonderful it is to think of Jesus as the conqueror of death. And because he lives, we shall live also. That's what the Bible says. And that's what God's word tells us tonight. Do you understand that? You see how these things go together? A root. Jesus is the root. He's the foundation of all things. A root out of a dry ground. Yes, it is dry ground. My heart's dry. Your heart's dry as well. And we need the Lord to break in upon our hearts to give us his great salvation. I've told you the story before about a preacher and his father walking along the road. And they were walking and talking together, and suddenly a funeral car came by. Like good men, they took off their hat, because in those days all men wore hats. And he said, the preacher said, "There he goes again. He's only been beaten once." He said, "Where is he?" "I'll fight him," his son said. I'll give him a run for his money." "Oh," he said, "you'll do nothing of the sort. You could never beat him. We're talking about death. There he goes. He's only been beaten once. And he was beaten by the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose again from the dead. And because he lives, we shall live also." My friend, does this message mean anything to you tonight? Are you in Christ? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Saviour? You see, this message is a message for you, so that you can understand it, so you can know what it means to know Jesus as the root out of a dry ground. Come to him, receive him in your heart and life, and know the salvation which he brings as you trust in him.